and then we'll jump into the word. The word today will come out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 1. Let's pray. Yahweh, we come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We come to you today grateful that you were crucified, grateful that on the third day you were resurrected, Lord Jesus. And God, we're grateful that you're still on the throne. Lord, I pray today that you will give us understanding hearts. I know the word sometimes gets confusing. Sometimes the word gets a little hard to receive. But God, today I pray for your power of your anointing, the power of your Holy Spirit to show us what's right, Lord. God, I pray that you will move each one of our own opinions, each one of our own thoughts out of the way, and that we can receive a rhema of word, God, a word that will change us, a word that comes straight from the throne room so that we can be empowered, so that we can live victorious, and most of all, more than anything, so that our lights will so shine before men that it glorifies you, Father, that our lives show you in a way that people's never seen before, that we can show compassion and mercy and love and power, God. We can show these things and people will be drawn unto you. We pray these things by faith. We believe that they're done and we seal them by the power of your Spirit. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love get to talk about the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost. When I was preparing for the word and I was talking to the Lord, God gives me words in so many different ways. He shows me things and I definitely honor him for that. But after Sunday, we actually went to church on Saturday. Our church had a couple services on Saturday. And then Sunday they had three services, and the pastor had asked, you know, I guess for any of the members, if possible, to come on Saturday to give room for guests and so forth on Sunday. So Saturday we went to the service. It was absolutely amazing. One of my good friends, Staceyn, sang, and man, it was good. All the songs were amazing. The Spirit of the Lord was there, and it was powerful. And then me and the family went to dinner. And right after dinner, we came back home and I began to think, what's next? You know, we prepared for Easter. We prepared for the Good Friday. I got Good Friday off and we had a couple days. On the third day, Jesus arose. And then it's kind of like it dies off, so to speak. But early this morning, God took me to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And I want to share my personal experience with you and anybody that'll hear this message. I used to attack when people would ask me about the day of Pentecost from a place of, I thought I was at a place of superiority or a place of pride, that I had to be right and you had to believe and you must believe exactly what I believe or you're wrong. But years ago, God took me from that and showed me that I just have to share my experience and allow His Spirit to be the one to judge, allow His Spirit to be the one to reveal the truth. Because early on when I was raised in what I would call a stereotypical Southern Baptist church, I was taught that the day of Pentecost was not necessarily for us anymore. I was taught that it was an event that absolutely happened, but it was not and is not for us. That the gift of speaking in tongues died with the apostles, that the gift, many of the gifts died with the apostles, that we're under a different dispensation of grace, and that we don't and can't receive these gifts. But I want to challenge you today, not for me to be right or not for me to have all the answers, but I want to challenge you today to ask God what's right. Ask God what the truth is. Because 18 to 20 years ago when I sat in prison and I would read the scripture, I would always be taken back to the book of Acts. And I had a pastor, Smiley, that was around my age, who spoke in a beautiful unknown tongue, and his best friend Rod, one of my good friends, when we would pray, they would speak in these tongues, not to boast themselves up, but when they would pray privately, or just me and them would pray together, they would speak in these tongues that was absolutely powerful and it was beautiful. And when my mom would come pray with me before she would leave the visitation, she would begin to speak in powerful moments under the anointing of God, and she would speak in an unknown tongue, and it changed me. I know that sometimes I didn't agree with it, but if something bad was happening or somebody was sick, these people that would speak in these unknown tongues are the absolute first people I would go to ask and pray for me or my family. I knew something was different about them. And I want to preface or start off by saying Isabel's 9 and her best friend Maylee's 10. And I had bought them these little Sony Angel things that hang on your phone. And apparently I had bought them some and then I bought them some more. And the second set I bought, or maybe the third set, they hustle me all the time, were fakes. They were dupes. They were counterfeits. They were whatever. And as soon as they opened the package, they could tell. The box was different. The material was different. And they were still excited and they still had smiles on their faces. But they were sharing with me how they knew they were counterfeit, or I guess their word for the kids nowadays is dupes. I believe that's right. Or I would just call them simply fakes. But just because they experienced a fake or a counterfeit or a dupe or something they knew wasn't right, it didn't stop them for the past 10 weeks for asking me for more Sony Angels. It didn't, that one bad experience didn't allow them to stop believing in the real thing. And probably most of us, if not all of us, have had bad experiences where somebody ran around the church or caused attention to themselves by speaking in tongues or all these things. But if these little girls aren't going to allow a counterfeit to slow them down, then I want to encourage you and I as adults to not allow bad experiences to take things away that God wants to give us, to allow bad or negative things, or maybe people experience something that maybe weren't mature enough to experience it. Just because that happens, I don't want that to take away from what God has for you and what God has for me. I want to encourage you, and I'll say it again, that I don't have to be right, but I do want you to ask God what's available for you. Okay, because what's available for me might not be exactly the same that's available for Brother Kevin or Coach Pardee or Alex or my dad or my mom or my sister-in-law Neely. Just because the giftings are different doesn't mean that they're less special. It doesn't mean that they're less appropriate. Okay, we have Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This is Peter. He's about to preach a powerful sermon. And this is after Jesus was resurrected. This is what most of us would call the day of Pentecost. The Bible says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues. Your version may say cloven tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. You have Jesus that died and was crucified, and he said, listen, I want you to go tarry in Jerusalem, and I want you to wait. I want you to wait until I send back, until God sends back the promise of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, my first point today that I want to make to you would be, if you have the question of, Alan, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? Is there a Holy Spirit? And I want to tell you, just like people have told me for many, many years of my life, is to get into the Word of God and find the promise yourself. It's one thing for me to read it to you, but you, when you'll read Jesus himself say, listen, I want y'all to go tarry in Jerusalem until the time comes that I'm going to send back the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, there is an availability to you and to me of, yes, salvation, but I believe there's a secondary experience. I believe that when you ask Jesus into your heart and you make him Lord and Savior of your life, yes, you receive the Holy Spirit, but I believe that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit that's available to believers. It's almost like if you had a Ferrari and that represented salvation, well, the Holy Spirit would be the octane, the high octane gas that you could put in that Ferrari to make it go. If you want to live a victorious lifestyle in Jesus, then I want to encourage you to pray to God if you've never experienced this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you can look at people. You'll notice that people are different. You'll see a fire that you don't see on other people. And I believe that is when God has filled them with the baptism. He's filled with them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And some people use it that's been baptized by the Holy Spirit in a negative way. They use it in a way that makes you feel less than, and that's not the way God intended it. People that are filled with the power of God was meant to encourage people. It was meant to instruct people. It was meant to prophesy. It was meant to help brothers and sisters that maybe weren't quite there yet. When I was in prison, I would read about this baptism of the Holy Spirit and get my hands on absolutely every bit of material I could possibly find to see if it was real. I would pray to God by myself on my bunk in the closet. I would pray to God everywhere I could possibly think of. And I would pray, God, please baptize me. God, I quit praying, God, if it's real, give this to me. And I began to pray, God, I know it's real, and I want to be filled with the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Today, I want to encourage you and to let you know that maybe you don't believe exactly what I believe, and that's absolutely okay, because I want to let you know that I want God to be the judge. I want you to get into Scripture. I want to get into Scripture because I don't have all the answers, but I'm telling you, I have the answer to a lot of people's problems, and that is there is a Spirit that comes from God that will allow you and me to quit letting our heads get beat in by the enemy. The Spirit allows us to live victorious. The Spirit of the living God allows us to know things that other people don't know. It allows us to speak in an unknown tongue so that we can pray to God about things that we don't even know we should be praying about. Brothers and sisters, today I want you to know that that Spirit that you read about at the day of Pentecost is available to you. And not only is it available, I believe it's the desire of the Father to give it to you and to me. You say, Brother Allen, but I've been taught my whole life that's not available. Me too. That's not an excuse anymore. God gave you and me two good eyes, gave us two good ears so that we can read and we can listen, so that we can read and we can listen. I want to encourage you today that I know without the shadow of a doubt, when somebody in my family's going through something, I want somebody filled with the Spirit of God to prophesy over my children. I want somebody to lay hands on me and to prophesy over me. And God wants that for you and your family. Why is it so controversial? Why? There's counterfeits to everything from Winchester guns to Louis Vuitton products to absolutely anything. And we don't allow these counterfeits to slow us down. We don't allow these bad experiences or these heartbreaks or these other things to stop us from believing that the real ones are still out there. Yet, as Christians, we're so feeble or we're so weak sometimes that we allow something we see or some heartbreak or something we experience in church to stop us from believing the truth. We allow it to stop us from believing that God is exactly who he says that he is. But when these people gathered together at the day of Pentecost, they didn't have the Scripture to instruct them. They had a word. They had a word from Jesus that told them to go and tarry and wait. And they had no idea if they would wait for 10 days, 40 days, 50 days or 500 days, but they knew that the word was enough. And I want you to know today that the word of God is enough in your life and it's enough in my life. And it's okay that you don't understand it. It's okay that you have questions because I still have questions. I still don't understand things, but I know 19 to 20 years ago that I sat in prison at a day of revival, and I know that I had been praying to God to be filled with this spirit. I had talked to my mom about it, God knows how many times. I had talked to my apostle about it. I had talked to everybody I knew about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And 19 or 20 years ago, I know that Minister Amy laid her hands on me and began to pray. And I know that a power that I had never felt in my life, it's even hard for me to describe it, sort of. It was like 1,000 or 10,000 bolts of electricity came on the inside of me, and the Spirit of God allowed me to pray with a tongue that I had never prayed in, not loud and screaming in front of everybody, but He allowed me to do it in such a way that I knew that something on the inside of me was full that was void. He allowed me to do it in such a way that I felt power come on the inside of me, and not so that it could bring attention to me, but that it could bring attention to God and all the goodness that He had shown me. And I know from that day forward, my life's never been the same. When these people were praying to God, they had a word and they were gathered together in an upper room and they had to show patience. If I have a word today for you, is when you begin to pray to God about this experience, about is it real or because it's real, I want it. It doesn't matter to me your prayer. I just pray that you say the prayer. Know that sometimes you have to meet your prayer with patience. No, sometimes it comes immediately, sometimes it's a short time, and sometimes it's a long time. But I want to encourage you to know that it is for you and for your household and as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want you to know that you have the power of life and death in your tongue. I want you to know that you don't have to always wait till you get to church to let your pastor pray for you or leadership pray for you. I want you to know that God wants to invest a power on the inside of you that will cause things to change in your household. It will cause your wife to be different. It'll cause your husband to be different. It'll cause those children to line up to the word of God. I want you to know that you are important enough in the kingdom of God that He wants to place His spirit on the inside of you. In closing today, I thank God for the day of Pentecost. I thank God that He decided to give us a helper, a helpmate. I thank God that He's given us these powers, but the Bible is extremely clear that after He gives you this power, if it's not operating in love, then you might as well sit on the side and bang musical cymbals together that mean absolutely nothing. If you don't operate out of love and you only want to bring tension to yourself, then it's not from God. But I am tired of seeing my brothers and sisters get beat over the head when there's a power available to them, a power available to me. Does it mean I get everything right? Absolutely not. But it means that there's something on the inside of me that tells me, wait a minute, that's not the way it should be done. And it makes me go correct whatever wrong I'm doing. It makes me want to go back to my wife and say sorry. It makes me want to go back to my kids and say sorry. It makes me want to go back to my brothers and sisters and give a word or share something that God has spoken to me. And I promise you, there's people in your life, Brother Kevin, Coach Party, there's people in your life that want you to deliver a word to them. That there's somebody on the side of the road that wants you to stop by and maybe deliver a word or help or whatever it may be that God is speaking to your heart. People are waiting for God's people to bring heaven to earth. It's your and my responsibility to bring heaven back to earth. And the only way that we can do it is with the Spirit of the living God. When God changed my life that day in prison, I'll never forget it. And I've messed up God knows how many times, countless and countless times. But it's that same spirit that He placed on the inside of me that allows me to pray, and it allows me to have hope, and it allows me to love. And I'm not beating anybody up that doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I do want to encourage you because I don't think it's right for me to know that there's something available and not share it. I don't think it's right for me to say, listen, there's a power, there's an anointing, there's more. I wish somebody would have told me about it before I was in prison or before, and maybe I wouldn't have listened or maybe I would have, but I just wish I knew that it was there beforehand. The people at the day of Pentecost were waiting with the word. And that word, they didn't know when it was going to come, but when it came, it fulfilled every promise that God had given to them. And I want to encourage you today and to let you know when he comes into your life and he fills you from the inside, I promise you it will fulfill every empty void that you have or maybe I have in my life. And we don't stop there. It's not like we get baptized and we're like, okay, God, that's enough of your spirit. We can ask him for more and we can ask him for more. David said, my cup runneth over. How did David's cup run over? Because he kept going back to God and say, give me some more. He kept worshiping and he kept praising and he kept dancing and he kept acting a fool before God because he knew God was the one that rescued him when he was in the mountains and when he was in the palace. He knew God was the one that rescued him when there was a bear trying to take a sheep, or there was a lion trying to take a sheep. He knew it was God that chose him before Saul's children. He knew it was God that chose him before his brothers. He knew it was God that redeemed him. He knew it was God that saved him and rescued him time and time again. And today, brothers and sisters, it's God that's there for you. It's God that's there for me. And Easter doesn't have to stop. It doesn't have to stop with God was Jesus was crucified, then he was resurrected. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the Holy Ghost, but at the day of Pentecost, they were filled and they spoke with a tongue that encouraged people. They spoke with a tongue that forever changed the course of history, that 2,000 years later, we're still reading about it. But I'm telling you, you can have a day of Pentecost today, tomorrow, and in the years to come. The Bible says that it's a promise unto us and to our children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. I speak in an unknown tongue every day of my life, and my kids don't look at me weird anymore. Not for that reason. I speak in an unknown tongue every day of my life, and my wife will walk by me like it's a normal day, because in this house, it's going to be a normal day. God has something available for you, brothers and sisters. And I encourage you to go get it. And whatever he gives you, whatever giftings he gives you, I thank him and I thank him beforehand. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. I thank you that you are exactly who you say that you are. That when the day of Pentecost fully come, it was your spirit that you sent back. It was the promise you made, and it's the promise you made to us, God. We call upon that promise today. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that desire to have an infilling, God, that desire to be baptized. I pray that you make it happen in whatever way that you preordained, that you've already set in their path, God. And I pray that when we do mess up, we'll come back to you again and again and again. God, that you're a God of mercy and truth and love and grace and compassion. I thank you, Yahweh, that you are exactly who that you say that you are. And I thank you for the text messages that I've already gotten and that I will get, that I was riding down the road. God, I thank you for the text message. I was riding down the road and the Spirit of God took over me and I began to cry and praise the Lord. Those are the experiences, God, that forever change us. We believe these things. We thank you, God. I pray that you will speak to each one of our hearts and our minds. And today we say yes to whatever you have for each one of us. And we believe these things to be so. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.